Lord, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer this evening. Lord, it's a wonderful, precious opportunity, Lord, together once again. Lord, you think all day, Lord. Lord, of the things you have done for us and for me in particular, Lord. Lord, bring such a thanksgiving in your heart. Lord, even though you know maybe you're not where you're supposed to be, but you're not where you used to be. Lord, and it makes you so thankful, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, Lord, as you look into my heart right this moment, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you have the full preeminence in this service. Lord, everything we do and say, everything we sing, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, let's sing it because of you, what you have done for us. Lord, let's give thanks to you for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, there ain't no man that's done anything for us, Lord. It's all been you. Lord, we just say, I pray you'll have your preeminence once again. Bless each and every one that made it tonight. Lord, bless the ones that may be listening by way of tape. Bless every, Lord, your little bride, Lord, wherever she may be in this earth tonight. Lord, just have your way completely. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little song in moments like these while we're standing. Amen. In moments like these. The Lord, you may be seated if you like. Amen. Page 593 in your Only Believe. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I love this little song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy He's given, Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus. See where you was once weak, and He made you strong. Amen. It's all because of what He's done. Amen. His mercy and grace. There ain't a thing in this life I deserve. I know for a fact that I deserve death, but His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, dear Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little song on your extra page here. You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my seeking you out. Hallelujah. Amen. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. I know the master of the wind. Praise God. He lives within you. Amen. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Amen. Thankful people we ought to be, oh God. Oh. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that one. That's on page 360, Only Believe. Amen. You can stand if you want, or you can sit, whatever you want to do. 360. Amen. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Than He that's in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, seeking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, falling some weak hour. But God has promised us. Amen. People, amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, hold it for it.
Amen,
because He is coming. Hold up. For I am coming, Jesus signals still. Well, let us wait the answer back to heaven by life. Amen.
Praise His name. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, Lord, to come before you in this hour and time we're living in, and knowing that, Lord Jesus, we are recipients of this great treasures and great words of precious life, Lord, to receive of it and be partakers of it, and Lord, to be blessed with it. How we appreciate you so very much. How just from the depths of our heart, Lord, our hearts want to pour out to you and glorifying you and magnifying your greatness, and knowing, Lord, as we take the benefits of these precious promises, Lord, that belong to us by grace, we can ask you for whatever our hearts desire tonight. And knowing, Lord, that before the foundation of the world, you knew you'd have people's hearts, Lord, desires under your control. That, Lord, they wouldn't ask for anything outside the will of God. They would ask with understanding. Lord, you'd give them a revelation that, Father, these promises was theirs. And, Lord, they would use them. They'd be partaker with you, Lord. And, oh, God, be in a contact with the greatest God there is and the only one true God. How we love you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And, Father, each one that raised their hand this evening, we just thank you, Lord. We just, each one as an individual, want to say thank you for granting our heart's desire. Lord, we didn't ask in vain. We didn't ask in presuming that maybe you would take care of it. But, Lord, we know that you've already taken care of it. And we accept it now, Lord. We believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Oh, God, hallelujah. We love you now. Oh, God, just have your preeminence in the remainder of the service. Bless the speaker of the word. Bless our hearts to receive. Lord, feed our hungry soul tonight. Grant it, Lord, as our hearts desire. In your holy, most precious, wonderful name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated if you like. Anybody have a special or a song they'd like to sing?
What mercy.
Amen.
Oh, what grace. He loved us so. Our iniquities and sins he erased. We could have had to hang on a cross. But by mercy and grace he took our place. And suffered the pain for us. Who can separate us from the love of God? Things present or things to come? What manner of people we should be after all he's done for us. He had us in his mind before there was time, and with him throughout eternity. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what grace. He chose us out of the millions, revealed himself to us. He could have loved someone else in our place, but by mercy and grace he chose us in his plan. Nothing can pluck us from his hand. Who can separate us from the love of God? Things present or manner of people we should be. After all he's done for us, he had us in his mind before there was time, and with him throughout eternity. Oh, what love, mercy, and grace will live with him throughout eternity.
Grace and mercy has become big words in your heart. Amen. Important words. Precious words. Amen. Where it's an experience in your life of knowing exactly what it is. Mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. Amen. Let us all stand. We're going to ask Brother Timothy come this evening and deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Let's just sing a little chorus. I love him. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. I love him. I love him because he first loved me.
Precious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here. Lord, it's been so good already just to have been in your presence. And Lord, to feel you speak to our hearts and woo us, Lord, through the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, there's nothing truly in this world that I would change for what I have here. Lord, it's not a building, Lord, that I wouldn't trade. But Lord, it's what's in my heart, Lord, that cries out to you. The desire that pulsates, Lord, and the longing to reach out to you, Lord. Father, we just ask tonight that you would bless this precious word, these scriptures and quotes you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I just pray that you will anoint your word, Lord, and may it do someone some good, Lord. And Father, just move me out of the way and just let it put it together, Lord, the way that I feel it burning in my heart. And we ask it to your glory and to your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
glory
Jesus.
To the
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
My, so precious. So good to feel his presence. Know he's here. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. While you're still standing, if you would, for a quick scripture reading, we'll just turn to Malachi, the 4th chapter. And then you can be seated, and I got another scripture I'd like to read. Amen. Malachi 4, the 5th and 6th verse. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. A very familiar scripture, and it's not really my message for this evening, but I read this to go along with this. Is just something that's pressing on my heart, and it may seem like a strange topic for tonight. But just bear with me. But my thought is I'm going to just title this message with a question. Why am I following this message? And just some things the Lord had laid on my heart. And let's go ahead and turn over to the book of Matthew, to the 11th chapter. And we're going to read some scripture here. We'll just start at the first verse of the 11th chapter of Matthew. Catch it down through here. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And he that hath ear, let him hear." Amen. Amen. But I was beginning to dwell upon this scripture. This, what went ye out to see? As Jesus asked these Pharisees and Sadducees, what was the attraction? Why? Why is everybody gathering in? Why is everybody here? What caused you to draw and show up for this thing of John the Baptist? And then Jesus come on the scene, and then John began to decrease, and they began to focus on Jesus and the works that he was doing. But they were just all gathering around. Something had attracted them, and he began to ask them, why? What drawed you to John? And Brother Branham preached a little message titled, "What Went Ye Out to See?" Preached back in 1959 on October 1st. And I just want to go through here and read some quotes down through here as Brother Branham began. And just pray I can kind of draw a picture together. And maybe it'll help someone or strengthen someone. Or cause someone to dig in just a little bit deeper somewhere along the way. But you know, when you look at the situation of all of those that gathered around John, and you even got to stop to remember that the King Herod there at the time, or I think it was Herod, how they come out to see John, or King Herod's brother-in-law. And he come out with his wife, and how they come to see John too. Everybody came. But oh my, what was the purpose? There was a few predestinated few that came there because they were drawn from something on the inside. It wasn't just an attraction that they came to see, but something down on the inside was working. And I just want to begin here on page 7 in this little message, about paragraph 36. Brother Branham says, "If I should try to take a little text for a talk, for the context of this subject, I would take this, what went ye out to see? John in his day by the world was considered a wild man. He was half naked, piece of sheepskin wrapped around him, woolly beard over his face, and his hair probably stood out from the side. And to just the world and the people out in the world, he was a wild man, and we'd call him crazy, just an old hermit that lived out in the wilderness. To the church, being that he preached, he was a fanatic. The church thought that man is absolutely a strictly religious crank. If he had been today, he would have been no less thought of today than he was then, because the world don't change. The people comes along and new generations rise up, but the spirit that governs the worlds is just as it was then and will be as long as there is a world. But those that knew John, those who believed him, they went out to see something that was real." And as we begin to read down through here, you just kind of take it over and type it with the precious prophet coming on the scene. And let it run a parallel. And look at as we go through this, and just as it goes along here, you'll see. I think you'll begin to see some similarities as Brother Branham preached this message, and as the Lord knew what was coming. Amen. Amen. Now over here, I'm going to go on over here to page 8, down about paragraph 43. "A great man, John, but the world couldn't see it that way. What was it about John that attracted the attention? To some of them, they went out to see a wild man, swinging his hands, half naked, hair all over his body. He was rather a rude-looking person, probably his arms and hands, because he was a perfect type of Elijah, and Elijah was a hairy man. And they went to see him, and some of them went to see him just to see what he looked like. And others went to see to disagree with him. And others went to see to find out what good they could get out of it. And that's the way it would be today if he come. If he was here today, or his message would be carried on just as it was then, it would be the same thing. Amen. If his message was so stunning of then that it shook the regions, let's see what he preached. And the first thing that he preached was repentance to all. And he goes over here, he says, now John began to preach, this is on page 9, John began to preach repentance to those people of the church, and they said, looky here, we got Abraham to our father. We don't need none of these wild preachers coming out of the wilderness, these uneducated groups, undenominationals. We don't need any of their hollering and going on, for we have Abraham to our father. And now I want you to stop and think, when Brother Branham came on the scene, and all the attraction that came with the healings, and all this great healer, he's here, he's coming to town. Oh, everybody gather in. Oh, everybody was attracted. And oh my, how it's carried down to today. How many years later? 1947 when he first began preaching. And look today, how many of us are still listening and still attracted to what was taking place then. There's something, there's still millions attracted to what was taking place. And a lot of them are looking for him to come back and all of that to take place all over again. Great signs and wonders and all these things. But they fail to miss why he come. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he come declaring Jesus Christ is coming. Make way for the Messiah. And oh my, Brother Branham was sent to this earth to declare that God was coming again. He was going to forerun that second coming of Christ. But today, it's been 60-some years, and there's been a lot happen since that message first came out. Been a lot of things go down, a lot of all many things changed. But that message that John preached never changed when Jesus Christ came on the scene. It just was a continuation, and it went right on. But oh my, when Brother Branham began to bring forth the seals and the revelations began to come forth, it was God manifesting himself in human flesh, bringing the word to his bride. Amen. Many people only saw a man, thinking that man had gifts of healing, thinking that man had this and that man had that. And so many was focused in on that they failed to see who was standing there speaking to his people. But today I wonder, we all attend churches here and those that might listen to this. Today we all attend so many message so-called churches. We all attend and I go to this church and I go to that church. But what am I following? What did I come out to see? Why do I come in here to see? Do I come here to be a member of a church so I can say I belong to Brother Steve DeLong's church? As it's become so commonly known in this message, it's Brother So-and-so's church, and it's Brother So-and-so's church, and it's Brother So-and-so's church. We go to here, and we go there. You ought to come to Brother So-and-so's church and hear him preach. And it's been lost of why we're here. Amen. And many of us, myself included, here I am, and I stand here young, and some of you older ones, all my life I've grown up hearing that very first scripture I read. Heard it many, many times. I've heard it as soon as I was able to hear. I've heard that scripture and know Brother Branham, he was the prophet for that. He's the one that was going to come. But do I really know that? Has it been revealed to me that Brother Branham was that forerunner for Christ? That was God speaking through a man to prepare his bride for a great catching away?
Amen.
Or does my daddy had the revelation, so I still go to church because daddy had it, and he said this is right, and I'm just staying in this church because my daddy believed it, I'm going to believe it. No difference than what it was when Brother Branham was here saying, because your mother was a Methodist, your daddy was a Baptist, you won't change from your creed or doctrine. That's where it's come down to today. Each one, I go to this church, and I'll leave that church because he's got his own idea, but they walk right over top of the very word they claim to believe. They won't attend service here because this brother's got a creed. But they'll let the word go on any certain thing.
Yes.
And so commonly, as it's mentioned, is the women dressing. And it's preached on. And it's right here in black and white. Brother Branham, as John the Baptist comes screaming repentance, Brother Branham comes screaming and crying out a message that was in his heart that God had given him.
Amen.
But oh my, people, they fail to realize that. Now it's just, oh, I just go to so-and-so's church, and I believe Brother Branham. And everything Brother Branham said or what God said through Brother Branham is just left void. Women don't care. They think they're modest because their dress is right at their knee. And they've got a shirt on, but when they bend over, it flies halfway up their back and you see all their bare skin. They sit down and they have no modesty. And then the brothers, their own husbands, will sit there and not say a word about it and think that he's following Brother Branham's message when he ain't even got enough backbone to run his household according to the way the Word of God said it should come. Amen. But what are we following? What did you go out to see? Why are you following this message? Amen. Is it a revelation to you, or are you just following it because Daddy did, Brother so-and-so did? Oh, he said it's right. I'm here. I'm going to stay right here. I've been doing this all my life. Now you've raised up in it. You're 30, 40 years old, got a family of your own sitting in church, and you ain't even raising your children according to the way the Word should be said and taught us to do. Amen. Because you've took on a formality of a church, a formality of a denomination. It ain't no different. Amen. Because it was to back to the Word of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Amen. But my people have become so blinded. They've just traveled on for years. It's what Daddy did. It's no different than the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They just trudged along. Oh, that's what we're going to do. No, saints. Joshua and Caleb come out of Egypt for one purpose. They had their eyes that God said he would give us that land, and we're going to take it. And that's the same way when God spoke in this day. There was a lot that was attracted to the sights and the sounds that went around. But there was a predestined elected few that heard a voice speak and said, there will be a catching away. He is coming again. Oh my, and he will be come for a bride that is waiting and loving and longing is appearing. Amen. And she'll be dressed in his righteousness. Amen. She'll be without spot and blemish. He's coming again. Amen. Amen. But someone's been predestinated. But is that someone you, or have you just fallen into the, I just go to church, I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do next? Or is there something down on the inside that's crying out, Lord, I need a higher step in you. I need another rung. What I've got now, I've been this way for the last 20 years, and I ain't never took another step with you, Lord. I claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and my life's just like it was back when. But oh my, what went you out to see? Why are you following this message? Why do you go to church every Sunday and hear about Brother Branham if you ain't going to follow one thing he wants to say in there? The sisters don't want to dress right. The brothers don't want to show up for church. Oh, I got other things to do. My job's more important. I need a title at work. I'm going to get this great wealth or whatever it might be that'll keep a brother out. Or anything. Take any circumstance. Those are just a few. There's a lot of word laying here. And we can each one go down through here and pick up these books and begin to read and weigh ourselves. You don't have to go ask your pastor. You don't have to go ask some member in the church. Just pick it up and read it. God was speaking to a people. God was speaking to his bride. And what he said was, thus saith the Lord. I'll say nothing unless I say it to a prophet first. Oh my, and it was vindicated. He was the prophet of the day, the prophet of the hour. But did you see that, or are you just following because Daddy said he was? Mommy said he was. It's what Mommy did. It's what Daddy did. It's what I'll do. Oh, what a shameful place it's come. But oh my, God is calling out there one last time. That word's going forth somewhere. There's genuine people screaming out, crying out to get back to the truth of what it's been. Lose the formalities of going to church. If I can't play an instrument, I ain't going there. If I can't be the piano player, I won't go. All these different things, it becomes a fuss amongst the church. It becomes a fuss in the church. I ain't going there. That brother's over there. You know what he did to me? I ain't going to church with him. No shame. But oh, God is crying out to a predestinated people. Amen. Come back to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. As it begins here, paragraph 49, page 9. Amen. I ain't going to make it. Now John began to preach repentance to those people at the church, and they said, looky here, I read that, and we got Abraham to our father. So would that same message blind the church today? If you ask a person quickly, and you just be honest, anyone that listens to this and sitting here, if this ain't what happens. As he says here, he says, quick, you say, are you a Christian? And they say, yes. Quickly they'll say, what denomination do you belong to? And that's what it's become today. Well, whose church do you go to? It's the same thing, just changed. That same spirit moved over, trying to trap that little bride, but that little bride will never be denominated. Hey, man. What denomination do you belong to? Now, that's all right, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. What church you go to has nothing to do with Christianity. One of them will say, well, I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian whatever church that they happen to be affiliated with, which is perfecting, all right, but that doesn't answer the question. You still need repentance, and repentance shakes the people, and they think they don't need it. I'm a deacon. I do certain things at the church. That doesn't excuse anything. You still need repentance. And John was simply confirming the promise of God and preaching against intellectual religion. And if he is that same message went forth today, it would raise as much as a stir among the religious people as it did then. Because the only difference they say in having Abraham to our father today, well, I want you to know I'm a member of a certain congregation. And oh my, ain't that the truth. But as John said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that don't bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. But he said he's coming with a fan in his hand, and he'll thoroughly purge the floors and burn up the chaff and gather the wheat into the garner. Amen. But John preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He never preached something that he didn't have. He preached what he had received. Hallelujah. Amen. And men of God that sent into the fields today has no right to preach the gospel without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the first qualifications of a minister, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and preach that there's no changing of the soul. You ain't got it, friend. Amen. You take one thing away from what God said in these precious books, and you've lost your claim to that, because God does not deny his own word. And if the Holy Spirit's in you, God separated a very portion of himself and put in you. And it will not deny a portion of this word. Hallelujah. God cannot deny himself. Amen. As he says here, that's the first qualification of a minister, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So what did you go to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? He said, those that are dressed in soft clothes are kings' palaces. John was too far from Hollywood to be dressed up, social sort of preacher. And oh my, how that's even fell over into this message. The suit's got to be perfect. I got to put a little makeup on my face so when I stand before the congregation, I don't look out of place. Or when they run the TV camera over me, I still look like I ain't got no hairs out of place, nothing sticking up, or no spit on my face. Shame what it's come to. But oh, God is calling a little bride out of the midst of all of that. Amen. It may only be one here. It may be one there. You might be the only one in your congregation sitting there thinking, I am so sick of this nonsense. I am so sick of this put on and pretense and hypocrisy that goes on. But oh my, you're going to just, well, I'll just throw up my hands and forget it. No, if you're a predestinated seed, get out of there and run for life. You get back to the word. God will push you where you need to be. Amen. We want to rely on our own selves. You've got to give it up and let God take over. You've got to give your all to God and say, Lord, I started out with you. I'm going to stay with you and follow that precious word. It ain't just sitting home. You get out. If you need a place to go and you don't think you can find a church, you begin to pray and seek God. And you let God direct you. If you're one of his and there's a true elected seed burning down on the inside, he will give you a place. He might show you somebody that you didn't even know existed, but that person will be there when you need them. Amen. God, he predestinated that fivefold ministry. Amen. And as old Philip was taken up and took to that eunuch, he can do it today for you and I. Any individual that needs God or has a question, God is capable of doing the very same thing he did in the book of Acts today for one person. Amen. If you didn't believe that, I'd quit the whole thing anyway, because God is still God. Amen. And that's what the Holy Spirit's crying out. I'm still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've changed not. I'm still here to do what I said I would do. Yes, Brother Branham's been gone for how many years? But the word that was left on that printed page, God put there. God stored that food for that little bride in this day. Amen. And it's coming down to the last few closing moments of time. And you better make sure that you line up with what he brought. Amen. Here on page 11, paragraph 67. Jesus said, what went ye out to see? Did you go to see a Pharisee or a Sadducee, a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian? What did you go to see? Was he dressed fine? Was he eloquent in his speech? What did he do but stand there and condemn everything that was wrong? Even Tetrarch, I believe I said that, went out to see him, which is the governor of the state, drove out there, living with his own brother's wife. John walked up to him and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Yes, what did you go to see? Did you go to see a denominational preacher? Did you go to see an intellectual speaker? Why today that would be far from the world would want today? Why, they want something that's eloquent, great, famous tents, flags, some great doctor of divinity and all the churches cooperating, intellectual men going before intellectual talks. But when you see a man of God, he's usually out in an alley somewhere, standing on the street or some little building preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the man that God sent, brother, laying the axe to the root of the tree, preaching the gospel regardless of what people think about it. Stands alone. What went you out to see? A man with a great education? Certainly not. He had none. Went into the wilderness at the age of 9 and he come out at the age of 30, preaching repentance, rebuking Pharisees. Why did he do it? He couldn't help being what he was. The spirit of Elijah was upon him and he couldn't help because he wore clothes like he did. His nature was that. He couldn't help preaching on the women running loose, for the spirit of Elijah was on him. He was what he was, and he told Herodias, he told her off to the face. He told the people what he thought. Why? He couldn't help it. That was his anointing. He was Elijah. Amen, and I've seen it repeat again in this day. Hallelujah. The spirit of Elijah was on Brother Branham. Amen. Almighty did the same thing. You can follow it back each time that spirit came. Amen. But do you just believe that because Daddy said that, or did you see it for yourself? Amen. Amen. Is it a personal revelation to you? Glory. Oh, my, or is it because, well, my wife's daddy says it's like this? How about that? Huh? No, it's thus saith the word. Amen. Amen. It's got to go back. Amen. Each and every one of us. You say, well, Brother Tim, you go to Brother Steve's church. That's fine. I attend service here. And if you want to put me as going to Brother Steve's church, that's fine. But I'm following the pure, unadulterated Amen. Word of God. And I can tell you for a fact that the day that it's taken away from or said something different, I'll no longer be here. Because why? God predestinated a people to stand that way. They're not standing on a preacher's shirt tail. They're not standing in a group. They're standing as individuals before God, waiting for their Heavenly Father to come and take them home. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says here, it's page 12. Down here he says 74. Then if a man or a woman, your anointing tells you whatever your spirit is, moves you. You're motivated by a spirit, and if that spirit of Jesus Christ is on the Christian, the believer, no wonder he's a peculiar person. No wonder there's something moving in him. That's the call of God is in him. The spirit of Christ is motivating him, and he has to move as the spirit moves him. Could you imagine seeing John walk down there and say, okay, that's all right. This is all right. As long as the spirit of Elijah was on him, he acted like Elijah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And when you take these people that goes now and starts off and says, oh, I'm going to be a Christian. And they start off all right. And first thing, about 6 months, they start going back. They start this way, that way. You can tell right then that the anointing is leaving them. For as long as the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll make you Christ-like. Amen. Amen. Now that anointing will fall on you, and it'll leave you when you go out the door. But if he's on the inside, he's still there when you walk Amen. Out the door. Yes. Amen. Glory. Paragraph 77. Amen. I'll try to hurry up here. And now if a lot of people has the wrong impression of Christ, some people think that Christ was a sissy. Christ was the greatest of all men. He was the example man. Not only was he man, but he was God man. He was God with us, Emmanuel. He was the humblest of men. And listen, as Brother Branham says this just for a moment, but you can be too humble. You can get so humble until the devil would make a puppet out of you. But he was humble enough to wash the disciples' feet. And he was forgiving enough to pray for those who drove spikes in his hands. But he was man enough to plait ropes and run the money changers out of the house. Hallelujah. And oh my, you know, you get men that say, well, I can't be a pastor and be a friend too. You just can't. That's a relationship you can't have. God did. Yes, he did. God walked this earth and he had the same relationship. Amen. He plaited ropes and he rebuked. You know, he told Zacchaeus. He told all them different ones, Nicodemus. He preached the word to them as they asked questions. Things stood in their way. He told them exactly, but he could put his arm around them and walk with them in love. Amen. The Holy Spirit will. Amen. When God calls a man, he puts everything he needs in him for that job. Hallelujah. Amen. But he was man enough to plant ropes and run the money changers out of the house. Yes, John was man enough to be meek and humble. He was man enough to stand on the banks of Jordan. He didn't need a great synagogue or a place to preach. He was humble, and he took the bright blue skies. He was humble enough that he didn't call upon the people to have so much money to pastor their church. He lived off grasshoppers and wild honey and locusts. In that country, they canned. They canned them. They were great big long grasshoppers, pickled them, smoked them every way to eat them. That's what he lived on. And his raiment was a piece of sheepskin wrapped around him. And Jesus said, what did you go out to see? What did you go to see? A person that would give in with the Pharisees? A reed shaken by every wind? Go in with the Sadducees when they come in? One day he's this and the other day he's that. Said, you didn't go to see nothing like that. Said, did you go to see somebody dressed fine? No, an intellectual? No. What went you to see? He said, go show John what's happening here. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor has the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Oh my, that was the sign of the Messiah. That was the sign to show him. And that's the sign of that true holiness church today. As much as they are falling, still it's the mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. The men and women who stand for the unadulterated gospel of salvation to the soul. To the poor, to the needy, not the aristocratic bunch that's dressed so in their churches that a poor man feels out of place. But a humble bunch of people. That's where the gospel is preached. The sick get well and they pray for the sick. And God confirms their ministry with signs and wonders. And there's gospel being preached to the poor. Go show John these things. Oh my. How that God took that man with no education. Took that man without one suit of clothes to wear. Took that man with not a robe to put over his shoulders. A man that had not a place to lay his head. A man that had not a decent meal to sit down by. And shocked the nations with him. Hallelujah, mercy. When I think of that, it awakes me to something. And I want you to look at that all down through. And look at the sign. What was the purpose that messenger of Malachi 4 was going to do? Return the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And bring about it all that the palmer worm and the locust, everything that had been destroyed and lost, he was going to restore. And you look at a people that's sitting under that pure, unadulterated word, and you watch their lives come back to what was lost. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering. All these different things you go down through there and find meekness, temperance. Oh my, look, read the scriptures on modesty. You'll find it in the midst. Read all these quotes of how your home should be run. Husbands loving their wives. Wives obeying their husbands. Each line, you can find it coming alive in a people. That is the work that was to be done. That Jesus Christ would be living again today in bodies of flesh, fulfilling every word. Not just here saying he was a Christian and just doing whatever he pleases. If Jesus would have come on the scene and said, I'm the Messiah, and he did nothing that the scriptures had foretold, nobody would have believed him. Nobody. But why? He could stand there and say, if you believe not me, believe the works that I do, for they testify of me. And that's the way it is of every true Christian. They don't have to say they're a Christian. They don't have to go around tooting their horn, I'm a message believer and I'm following this message. If the life that Christ lived in this Bible, you get a revelation, it will reproduce itself through you. Exactly to the T. Amen. And there will be an identification take place. You'll be able to see it and you'll know it's God and not you. It'll be more than you can do. More than you've ever been able to do. But oh my, you got to get back to the Word. You got to get out of being a churchgoer. You got to quit playing church. Oh, it's just what we do. We go to church every Sunday and we have church during the week and we go and I'm there every service. That's fine. But it goes way beyond showing up at church. It's so much more than just your attendance. Or just your leading the song service. Or you just showing how good you can play at service. Or how good you can sing. It goes way beyond that. And it's all laying right in these precious books. And you don't need a pastor to have to point it out to you. You can read it for yourself. And watch. And if God points it out to you, he'll point you back to the church. And then the pastor will minister on the things you have need of. And you'll see God work it out just the way it's written in the scriptures. But oh my, you've got to be diligent yourself. You've got to be willing to search and to hunt and cry out to God and ask God for revelation, not run over to Brother So-and-So's church so he can give you revelation, because it's never going to happen. But you've got to go to God first, and God will use that fivefold ministry to guide your path if you'll let him. But you've got to give it to God first. Amen. Because that's where it starts. And as long as you keep wanting to think. And a lot of people, they want to excuse me. Well, he's just a minister. He's As that minister is telling you exactly what God said, you better listen to every word he's telling you, and you better follow and take heed. Because God said he'd give those gifts to the church for the edifying of the body. My, you can't leave one word out. You can't exclude one word. You better follow it to the letter. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip over here real quick. You sisters can come to the instruments. I'll read this and close. This is a little story he told at the end of this, and it's kind of simple, but something to think about. Here some time ago in the state of Kentucky, this is page 15, paragraph 98. In the state of Kentucky, up in the mountains, the story goes, a little precious mother with about 10 children lay dying with the dreadful disease of tuberculosis. And she had doctored and done everything she knew to do, but the germ was killing her, and it was taking her, and soon she was to die. And out of those 10 children, of course, she loved them. But there was none of them but one that would work. None of them would help her. She lay dying. She took her bed. She couldn't get up no more. And this one little girl, she done all the washing. And while her sisters trotted off over the neighborhoods to play, she cooked for the rest of them. And they'd be home at mealtime, and then when it come to time to wash the dishes, away they'd go. And she had to do it all. Nobody else was left to do it. And finally death come up to the door one day and took her mother. And then it was all thrown onto her to be the mother then of all these children. The poor little thing worked, and she worked. And she worked till her little hands was calloused. And she done all that she could do to be a mother, to take her mother's place. And finally she worked so hard, underfed too, till the dreadful disease got her little broken body down, broken down body. And finally she took to her bed, and she was dying, and there happened to be across the country a Sunday school teacher drove up in the car and went in to see her. And called her by name, and he said, you understand that your disease is serious? And she said, I understand that I am dying. She said, I've just consulted your physician, and he said that you were dying. She said, yes, that's right. Said, well, he said, are you prepared for this? And the good teacher said, are you prepared to meet this? And she said, oh, yes, I'm prepared to meet the Lord Jesus. Oh, she said that. He said, that's very fine. Well, now, what denomination do you belong to? She said, I don't belong to any. She said, I worked too hard here. Nobody would help, and I don't belong to any denominations. He said, child, the good teacher said, you must belong to a denomination. Said, what are you going to do, going to show? What denomination do you belong to when you come before him? Said, what group are you going to associate with? What denomination can you tell him that you belong to? And what can you show him? And that little lady sitting there pulled her little calloused hands out from under the bed and said, I'll just show him my hands. He'll understand. I think that's right. If we'll just show him, and what we've done with what he's put in our hands, let's do with it all that's in us. What went you out to see, and what's he going to see when you meet him at that day? If you haven't nothing to show him, well, everything is present to show him. Think of it while we pray. And amen, I just thought of that, you know. What are you going to present God on that day? Each one of us, we're going to have to stand there and present him. If I'm a sister, the way I've dressed, the way I've lived and acted, as a husband, how my home's been run, I'm required of every word. Each one of us the same. There's a lot of word laying here. What am I going to present? My, how precious it is. You know, I saw a little sign one time. It said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? And that's a good thought. Amen. But I pray that it'll burn in our hearts. And anyone that might stop to take a minute to listen to what's been said tonight, it ain't about what church you attend. And I believe you should attend church. I'm not saying for once you should stay home and this, that, and the other. You better find you a place. But it's got to go back to the precious word. What went you out to see? Why are you following this message? Are you just following it because it's the trend, it's the tradition? It's what everybody else has done in my family. It's become a family tradition. And we're working on 10th, 12th, and 12th generation now. We're all following the same message. That ain't how it works, friends. God don't have grandchildren. It's a personal revelation to you. And if you don't know that that was God speaking, and that that was the forerunner of the coming of Christ, and that the mysteries of God would be finished, you better go back and start looking, because it's happening. And that catching away is just around the corner, and it's going to take place just the way God said it would. My, may we press. And may we stop and look at our lives. Do I look like a Christian? Is my speech what a Christian's would be? Is my home life what a Christian would be? Am I a Christian in this message as we was talking out here the other night? Am I a Christian that's following and says, I've got Christ living in me, and I just can't not wait to get away from my children? I wish somebody else would just take care of them all the time. I don't want nothing to, I ain't got time for them. They tie up my life. They're just too bothersome. I can't take it. My, where, as a Christian, there's a lot of word to line up to. And it goes way beyond. Everybody says, oh, let's preach these deep things. Oh, we believe this, and oh, we're going to preach this, and he's a great revelational speaker. But you've got to have the ABCs before any of that other can come. And it starts, as Brother Branham said, them ABCs was always believing Christ, and that's every word. And you've got to take it just the way it was written. What he said he would do, he will do. But just as John came preaching repentance, so that when Jesus came on the scene, that Holy Ghost fire could come. Amen. And it's still the same today. Repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he done then, he's got to do today for me and for you. And you can base your soul on it. You can get an assurance. But if you don't have that assurance, you need to get it. And it ain't going to come from just going to church. It's going to take from crying out to God and getting a revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you or for me. My, isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. I pray it was not too long or boring for you, but it's just something that was on my heart and I wanted to. I just felt it was time to get it off. Amen. I thank the Lord for his precious word. You know, each one of us, each day, it becomes more and more. And I just pray God continue to take me over. I pray you'll take each one of us over, that each one of us will become so mellow and so sweet. And so much like that word. I just like how he said that. Jesus was so humble he could wash his disciples' feet. But yet he was man enough to braid the ropes and beat them out of that temple. Amen. May that burn in each heart. There's a time to be humble. And there's a time to be patient and long-suffering. But then there's also a time to speak the word and take a stand that they know. My, but it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we pray and cry out for is, Lord, let me be one of those that's led by the Spirit of God to do and to say at the time when you would have me say it. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Has someone got a song on their heart you'd like to sing? Amen. If you don't, let's just sing that I Know the Master of the Wind again. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I know the Master of the Wind. I know the Maker of the sunshine again.
I know the Master of the Wind.
I know the Master of the Wind. I know the Maker of the Rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun shine.
Just so glad you know the Master of the Wind. Amen. Saints, we're living an hour in time when there should be such an assurance in your hearts of who you are, where you came from, that you are in the truth, that you are born again, you are a son, daughter of God, wherever you may be, and know with assurance. And Brother Timothy mentioned a little bit about that identification. And the time has come now that you can look in those messages, in those books, and you can see yourself identified. When you're reading about that sons and daughters of God and what God has promised you and what the children of God would do in this hour, the bride of Jesus Christ, you're matching it. And by matching it, assurance is there.
Amen.
It used to be when the word had come and you're trying to, oh, I got to make sure I'm this. I got to make sure I'm that. But now an identification will be taking place. By grace, you see you're that one. You see you're that one. You see you're one. Hallelujah. And what just keeps getting greater? Assurance. Blessed assurance. Amen. Again, what a blessed people you are. Amen. I was thinking about, couldn't help but to think about Brother Timothy and talking about the people, what they're doing in this hour, and how they're wanting to be attached to a group, and seems to be the most important thing to them instead of attached to Christ. Or they go on to one end of it where they almost make Brother Branham an idol to themselves, you know, instead of the Word. But they're forgetting what the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun Amen. The first coming of Christ, so have you been sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. I must decrease and he must increase. Amen. Amen. Christ is the vision. Christ, the Word, is the life. Amen. Glory. Not to man. Christ, the Word. I must decrease. He must increase. Hallelujah. Oh, the truth always sets you free. You know exactly where you're standing at. Amen. Oh, he is the master of the wind. And you know that master of the wind lives right inside of you. He's right inside of you. Amen. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, we're so thankful for the Word, Lord, and the truth that's represented in this hour by spiritual and Spirit-led men and women of Christ, how we're so appreciative of it. And Lord, we just want to be at people that constantly stay with that Word completely, not let any kind of an organized or denominized or any kind of a man's creed or ideas attach itself to us, but Lord, be free from all of it. For Lord Jesus, you have sent us here to be free in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, everything be done by the Word of God. And thank you so much for being the master of the wind. The very one, Lord, even that lives within our hearts now, is the same one that east wind dried that sea floor up, and Lord, the children of Israel crossed over. We know the master of the wind. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, we love you and appreciate you now, Lord. Bless us, keep us in your care, Lord, which we know you will. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. May we come back again burning in our heart, Lord, just hungering to worship you and love you and to hear your Word and just let you get the glory and honor over everything in our lives. In your holy, precious name, how we love you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I love him. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed.